Y'all set, Robin?
Okay, welcome back from your break on to ground fish. I will actually be giving this report as the acting chair of the ground fish committee, my one day of acting chair of ground fish committee, and I hope never to do that committee again. So there have been a couple meetings since our last group meeting here in June. There was a PDT webinar on July 29th. We had a combined ground fish advisory panel and recreational advisory panel on September 3rd, 2025, and then the ground fish committee met in the afternoon of that same day of September 3rd, 2025. The topic of the ground fish and GAP RAP committee meetings was basically looking at Amendment 25, the revised version of Amendment 25, as well as getting a update on Framework 72. We will be basically giving the same presentations today with further information, and we will have a motion on the board regarding Amendment 25, the updated version of Amendment 25. So I will kick it over to Robin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for your leadership and as acting chair at our last set of meetings. So just to start off with the quarterly outlook that you have in your materials, just a reminder of the many groundfish priorities for 2025. A few of these are paused, and that was the decision when the council took up resubmitting Amendment 25, which is the subject main subject for today. And so those, in particular, it's the Amendment 23 review metrics and that associated review and the redfish sector exception review that are on pause for 2025. And so for today, as you just heard, for the revised Amendment 25, the resubmission, we're looking to take final action on the repackaged revised action. I think we'll do all of that first, and then we'll have a brief update on Framework 72. And so in addition to any discussion on the revised action, again, as noted, we're looking to a motion to submit the revised action. So as a reminder, as was discussed at the last council meeting, Amendment 25 was disapproved, received the NOAA decision letter as of May 19th, 2025. And that rationale for disapproving the amendment was that it did not contain the, or did not adequately demonstrate how the action was consistent with National Standard 1, other provisions of Magnuson-Stevens Act. Essentially, it deemed that the procedural approach that the council had followed, which was the advice from NOAA and GARFO to use Amendment 25 as the action, as an administrative action to add the revised cod stocks to the plan, and then the Framework 69 having the measures, the implementing management measures as two companion actions and kind of align the rulemaking, that was deemed to have not been the correct process. But the letter recognizes that the revised understanding, the new understanding of the revised Atlantic cod stocks, the four cod stock structure as the best scientific information available. And so the council needs to add those to the groundfish fishery management plan. And so GARFO offered in its letter a response pathway by which the council could revise Amendment 25, incorporate those elements that are necessary. So it is consistent with national standards and Magnuson-Stevens provisions. So namely, that's the SDCs, the status determination criteria, distribution of the ABCs, accountability measures for the four cod stocks. So including what had been in the COD measures in Framework 69 with Amendment 25 and resubmitting those. And so after quite a bit of discussion and debate at both the Groundfish Committee meeting and the June Council meeting, the Council did vote to change the groundfish priorities and voted to reinitiate Amendment 25 as advised in NOAA's letter, and that this would be focused only on reformatting the COD-specific management measures that were previously submitted in Amendment 25 and then Framework 69. So not reopening or revisiting decisions, essentially taking the measures that had been previously developed and recommended and submitted and putting those together. And that in part is driven by the timeline that the letter that GARFO provided in its letter in order to try to have everything in place by May 1, 2026. So initiating reinitiating the resubmission of this revised action in June, and then taking action in September today. And so shown here is the draft scope of the revised Amendment 25, just to see what had previously been in Amendment 25, and then the Framework 69 COD measures, kind of putting it all together. And so this action is adding the four Atlantic cod stock units to the groundfish FMP. That's Eastern Gulf of Maine, Western Gulf of Maine, Georges Bank, and Southern Ringling Cod, and then setting fishing years 2026 through 2027 specifications and management measures for Atlantic cod, including setting the status determination criteria, setting fishing year 2026 through 2027 specifications for three of the cod stocks, Eastern Gulf of Maine, Western Gulf of Maine, and Southern New England, setting fishing year 2026 specifications for Georges Bank cod, the subcomponent analysis for the cod stocks, establishing recreational sub-ACLs for Western Gulf of Maine and Southern New England cod, establishing management uncertainty buffers, establishing the common pool accountability measures for the cod stocks, setting recreational measures, and then establishing the regional administrator authority or the process for the regional administrator to adjust the recreational measures for Eastern Gulf of Maine and Georges Bank cod. And so seeing what these look like as alternatives, so you have provided in your materials the draft outline of the alternatives, just to see how these all look together when they were packaged together. The draft environmental assessment is where you'll find the full draft alternatives. And I'll say with this presentation, we'll mainly try to focus in on a few things, from modifications from what had previously been included in Amendment 25, Framework 69, things that needed to be modified slightly to fit the situation for for fishing year 2026. And so this revised Amendment 25 has five actions. Action one is incorporating the revised cod stocks into the Northeast Multispecies or the Groundfish FMP. Action two is the cod status determination criteria. Action three, revised specifications. And so everything that I'd previously noted in terms of specifications, subcomponents, management, and certainty buffers. Also the Western Gulf of Maine cod ABC apportionment that is necessary under the council's approach for allocation in phase one of the plan to distribute the ABC for the Western Gulf of Maine. And then action four, commercial fishery measures. These are the common pool accountability measures. Action five, recreational measures, which include the Southern New England cod recreational measures and the regional administrator process for adjusting recreational measures for Eastern Gulf of Maine cod and Georges Bank cod. And so as noted here, you'll see where the preferred alternatives have been noted, again, from what the council voted on last year. So action one, incorporating the cod stocks into the FMP. There is a no action and a status quo. And if you need a refresher on the difference, no action is where the council wouldn't be revising the stocks in the plan. You now have assessments for the four revised cod stocks, as we now have management track assessments for the four new cod stocks. Status quo was developed as more of a way to compare between no action and alternative three, revising the cod stocks. So it's more of a hypothetical. If you didn't revise the stocks in the plan and you had management track assessments for the old or existing Gulf of Maine and Georges Bank, which is not the case. We now have, as of last year, management track assessments for the four cod stocks. And then alternative three, which again is the preferred alternative the council selected, is to revise the cod stocks in the FMP. I think we're all pretty familiar with the figure here. So purple is the Eastern Gulf of Maine, blue the Western Gulf of Maine, yellow Southern New England, and green Georges Bank. And then that dashed line is showing the old or existing Gulf of Maine and Georges Bank units. Action two, the status determination criteria, just a no action. And then alternative two, the new status determination criteria as was determined in the 2024 management track assessments. And that was selected as preferred. Action three, the revised specifications. So alternative one, no action. And just a reminder, is just as last year, with under no action, there wouldn't be specifications for Atlantic cod for fishing year 2026. And with that, there wouldn't be groundfish fishing. Alternative two, revised specifications for cod, selected as preferred, and then all of those elements within it. So 2026 through 2027 specifications for Eastern Gulf of Maine, Western Gulf of Maine, and Southern New England. And then 2026 specifications for Georgia Bank cod. And I'll go into more detail on the next slide, but this is considered a placeholder. You might recall there was some discussions at the last meeting, sort of noting the timing between submitting this action and for Georgia Bay cod, and recognizing that as part of Framework 72, the annual framework, we're planning to revisit the Georgia Bay cod or set the Georgia Bay cod specifications for next year, kind of moving with the new process for the transboundary stocks in setting those specifications for 1 year. This again, also the recreational sub-ACL for Western Gulf of Maine cod, the Western Gulf of Maine apportionment, EBC apportionment that's needed to derive the commercial sub-ACL, and subcomponent analysis, management uncertainty buffer. So all of that together as alternative two. Alternative three was where the council looked at setting a Southern New England cod recreational sub-ACL, a no action, and then selecting option two to set a Southern New England recreational cod sub-ACL. So just to, it's probably a little hard just to see on the screen, but just pulling out, these are the specifications that you'll see in the draft environmental assessment. And just to go into a little more detail for Georgia Smith cod, that placeholder value. And so what the PDT had proposed using here as a placeholder is taking the value, the total ABC for fishing year 2026 that was recommended by the SSC last year, kind of using that as the U.S.-Canada shared total TAC, and then taking the updated country shares to determine the U.S. ABC from there. And so that results in 106 metric tons. But again, the intention is to for this to be replaced with updated specifications in Framework 72, which will be incorporating the 2026 TMGC, the Transboundary Management Guidance Committee recommendations, and the considerations by the SSC. Action four, the commercial fishery management measures, so the common pool accountability measures. Option one, no action, and then two options, both of which were selected as preferred. So establishing the common pool, the trimester total allowable catch distributions, and the closure areas, so the areas that close once 90% of the TAC is projected to be caught for the four cod stocks. And then option three is the establishing the baseline trip limits for the four new cod stocks. And just to note here, in this alternative for this option, it previously considered or included some adjustments to the approaches that the regional administrator can use to determine trip limits, and that's not included here, as the intent is for that to be a part of the Framework 69 rule. Action five, the recreational fishery management measures. So alternative one, the recreational measures for Southern New England cod with an option one, no action. Option two, setting recreational Southern New England cod recreational measures, and this is the zero possession measures. And alternative to the regulatory process for the regional administrator to adjust the recreational measures for cod stock, so a no action, and then as preferred, the option two, establishing the process to adjust for Eastern Gulf of Maine and Georgia's Bank, noting this is another placeholder, so this had been submitted is in Framework 69 as a one-year measure, so needing to extend that for 2026, but it is the intent that in Framework 72, that scope includes an alternative that would consider establishing this process on a more permanent basis for cod and haddock, so another place that we'll expect to sort of be replaced, but this is necessary just to meet that intention of having a process by which the RA can establish recreational measures for all of the cod stocks, including those here that don't have or aren't proposed to have recreational sub-ACLs. And so as far as draft impacts analysis, so you can find, again, all the impacts are within the draft environmental assessment for the revised Amendment 25, and just noting a few updates from what was seen last year. So I've now added the impacts for action one, incorporating the stocks into the plan, since that had been included in Amendment 25, and Amendment 25 originally was submitted as a categorical exclusion, so it didn't have the associated NEPA impacts. Actions two through five, those impact analyses are carried over from Framework 69. They're not updated, as the PDT Council and Garfo staff discussed. The same basis applies to these measures in their consideration for fishing year 2026. And further, the information that would be needed to update isn't available. The draft environmental assessment, I did want to note, we will be complying with the updated NEPA requirements, namely the page limits. So likely what this will look like is moving some of the large sections of text in the affected environment into an appendix. And so also in reorganizing the Amendment 25 submission, including the appendices, so now only including appendices, information that relates to COD. There were a lot of other parts of Framework 69 that were not COD specific, so the revised appendices, we have five, the first one being the collection of the SSC's reports on COD from last year, the second being a description of how the annual catch limits are calculated, and then appendix three and four, this is where we've kind of done some reorganizing to kind of put together some of the background material that went into the council's development of the approaches that it is including for phase one of the transition as a part of Amendment 25. And I'll go into more detail in particular on Appendix 3, and that is describing the development of the council's phase one measures for Atlantic Cod and specifically around its approach for the bridge approach for sector allocation. Which I think was safe to say was the place where the council spent the most time in the committee with developing last year. Appendix 4 is including background on developing other phase 1 COD measures for the recreational and common pool measures, and Appendix 5 being the risk policy matrices. And so Appendix 3, this is documenting or trying to go through the development of the phase 1 COD sector allocation bridge approach. So summarizing how the council developed this bridge approach as part of phase one, and just kind of be going through a bit of a recent history lesson and kind of all the work that the committee and council went through last year. And some of this began pretty early, even leading before the development, or as we were working towards the development of Framework 69. And just that the committee and council's intent was for this bridge approach to be the short-term approach for phase one of the transition plan to ensure that the necessary management measures could be in place by May 1, 2025, which we are now looking at May 1, 2026. And then phase two will consider the longer-term approaches. This is kind of simultaneously with developing Amendment 25 and Framework 69. The council in the spring last year was developing its approach to the Atlanta COD Management Transition Plan and settled on this phase one and phase two short-term and long-term approach. And that was done with a lot of input from stakeholders, from the public, a series of several workshops as well. And so this appendix references some of all of the committee's tasking for the PDT in developing the approaches used for phase one and sector allocation, supporting PDT analyses and various memos, and going through the committee's decision-making throughout the development in Framework 69, now being included as Amendment 25. And so something that the PDTs have looked at as an expansion on some of this is providing some illustrative examples that hopefully help to demonstrate some of the other approaches that the council considered and how it walked through this decision-making process to inform the final selected approach. And I really want to thank the Garfo staff on our PDT for a lot of help, a lot of their work developing these illustrative examples. It hopefully helps to fully demonstrate and show how the council and the committee worked through this process last year. And so as a review of what the council proposed for its bridge year approach for sector allocation, this is to maintain the existing potential sector allocations, the PSEs, for allocating to the commercial fishery, so applying the two existing COD PSEs to the four COD quotas. This method necessitates that you have an apportionment for the Western Gulf of Maine cod commercial sub-ABC to the northern portion of the Western Gulf of Maine and then the southern portion. And that's, as you can see in the figure, you might recall last year, given that the Western Gulf of Maine includes a portion that was previously part of the Gulf of Maine stock management unit and a portion part of the Georges Bank stocking unit. So in order to have a value with which to apply those Gulf of Maine and Georges Bank PSCs to. And the final selected approach uses a Western Gulf of Maine apportionment of 68% apportioned in the north and 32% in the south. So this is an approach that's based on catch history, but it's using a subset of years, of recent years, that the committee and council selected to try to minimize the effects of large differences in the quotas between Gulf of Maine and Georges Bank. Oops. So what these illustrative examples of the sector cod allocation, we'll walk through a few of them. There are some more, and I'll kind of touch on them. There's more included in the appendix. But really, hopefully what they are serving is to be able to provide a mechanism to isolate the impacts from the revised cod structure, cod stock structure, and the approaches that were used from impacts from the 2024 management track assessment. So I think that probably really clear from the discussions last year, and you'll see in some of these slides in the development, in the early development of some of these approaches, the committee and council were working through versus once the council had the outcomes of the stock assessments, which overall are showing a large, around 50% decline in the cod catch limits from the last assessment, it became difficult to really disentangle an understanding of how what impacts or what changes to allocation could be seen from the different approaches considered versus the assessments themselves. So hopefully what these examples do is kind of are a way to kind of bridge across that and put everything in one set of currency in terms of quotas to look at. And so what they do is compare the sector cod allocations under the different approaches that the council considered and applying them to fishing year 2024 quotas. So again, converting everything into really the same currency. So status quo being you have two PSCs and then the two actual commercial sub-ABCs, and then comparing to the methods that were developed and selected in framework 69, two PSCs, maintaining those, but now converting into four hypothetical commercial sub-ABCs what you would have had for 2024 if you use the proportions of the total cod quota that was a part of framework 69 and use that to determine what the proportions of those stocks would have been under the 2024 quotas. And that's calculated using the apportionment for Western Gulf of Maine 68-32, also some examples showing some of the some other alternative splits. But I think a couple of points to highlight, it's really important to remember that these comparisons should be considered a snapshot in time, so something as the PDT was working through this noted, the results do change if you're applying a different status quo quota year. For example, what's included in the appendix, fishing year 2022, basically if there's a different proportion of the Gulf of Maine and Georges Bank quotas, that's going to change the results. A few other things, the results would change if you had a different proportion of the four stocks, there were shifts in that. Sector roster year doesn't substantially change the results. So this seemed to be fairly stable over time. And another thing we'll walk through, another example that compares a method that was developed early on in the development of the phase one measures, which was referred to as the base case, to the framework 69 method. The base case being you had four new PSEs using the existing data and then calculated four commercial sub-ABCs. And so all of this is to, again, it's not new information, it's not, there's no decisions, but just to expand upon a lot of the work, a lot of the analyses that the committee and council went through last year and hopefully provide a clear understanding of how the council committee worked through its decision making, demonstrating how it's considering the impacts across the methods and the final selected method here. So early on, actually back in late 2023 is when the committee first tasked the PDT with conducting analyses to inform the development of the transition plan, and that's where the PDT came up with this idea of the base case scenario. using the same sector PSC qualifying years as in Amendment 16, applying that landings history from the statistical areas that are now making up the new COD stock units to recalculate what the PSCs would be for the four new COD stock areas. But when that was brought to the committee, it was decided not to pursue that, the base case for phase one. There was a lot of feedback from some of the workshops and meetings that were held from the public and industry that this was deemed to be too large of a change of an allocation and seemed to be something that would warrant further consideration and a kind of a longer, more detailed approach in the phase two, the longer term approach in the transition plan. And so the committee at this time chose to move forward with an approach that's maintaining the existing two COD PSCs. So at the time, we didn't have the information when the base case was introduced to make a comparison to what things would have looked like under that compared to the methods under Framework 69. We didn't have the quotas from the new COD stocks. We also didn't know what the methods would be for ultimately how the committee and council developed the approach in Framework 69. And so this illustrative example that I'll walk through next is just a way to kind of go back and see what that would have looked like. So what these are showing here is how the difference in the amount of COD, how COD sector allocation, the amount of, that would be allocated to each sector under the different approaches. So here we're looking at the base case on the left, which is the four, if you had four PSCs that were created for the four commercial sub-ABCs, and then to the ultimately the Framework 69 method of using two PSCs with the four commercial sub-ABCs. So this is in terms of the just fishing your 2025 quotas using 2024 sector rosters. And so what you're looking at on the right is you have both the difference, the absolute difference, and how the total COD allocation would change for each sector between those two methods. And at the bottom, the sum is representing the total change across all the sectors. You might recall the committee and council had seen a similar table as this, comparing some of those different approaches that were considered in the later stages of developing the Framework 69 methods, particularly around the Western Gulf and Maine apportion. So you can start to pick out if you're, you know, looking at certain sectors and thinking about some of the geography of them in terms of how those how some of those differences might play out between there. And important, I think, to know with all of these, again, these are, and you'll see in the next one, kind of designed to be a snapshot in time, but as you're changing, if you were to change what you're considering your status quo, if you're changing the proportion of stocks, you would get a different set of results. So in moving forward last year, when the committee decided to maintain existing PSCs, it developed, tasked the PDT with developing methods to prorate commercial sub-ACLs from four new stocks to the two existing. Quickly ran into some problems with this idea of using two PSCs and having quotas for Gulf of Maine and Georgia's Bank COD. There were a lot of concerns about overfishing, concerns that would actually be more burdensome for the industry. They would be potentially having or likely having to be tracking two sets of numbers. And so for that reason, the PDT had, for all those reasons, had recommended what at the time was called option two, so using two PSCs and having quotas for the four new COD stocks, which is what the committee in its June meeting also recommended moving forward with. The sense that this approach of allocating the four stocks of COD by using the two existing PSCs could be considered the best way to minimize disruptions to the fishery during the transition in the short term while still preventing overfishing. And so recognizing there will be some changes, some disruptions, but trying to minimize those and kind of consider impacts across the fishery during this transition through this approach. This option two, then, this requires apportioning the Western Gulf of Maine. There were several ways that the PDT identified to be potentially used as the basis of apportionment, so historical catch, survey biomass, or a combination. It's worth noting that pretty early on, the PDT considered basing on historic quotas, but really quickly did not pursue that further, recognizing, I think, as many or most on the committee and council would as well, that given a lot of the past differences between the past quotas in Gulf of Maine and Georgia's Bank not really being directly reflective of fishing activity, I think many years where those quotas are very different from one another, that would not be a good basis for basing the apportionment. And so now, this is what, again, the kind of main purpose of these illustrative examples, hopefully to show what we're comparing here is the Framework 69 method on the left, the two PSEs and the four hypothetical commercial sub-EPCs that have been converted as fishing year 2024 quota currency, and then status quo using fishing year 2024 as the status quo year. So these are the actual commercial sub-EPCs from that year. And again, the Framework 69 method includes that apportionment ratio of 68-32. And the sector rosters are also using 2024 sector rosters. And so now looking across here, we're able to see the differences, how total sector cod allocations by sector would change under for each of these methods relative to comparing the Framework 69 method relative to fishing year 2024 being the status quo. So again, this is able to isolate changes just with this method and kind of removing that other changes occurring, which is with the management track assessments having a overall decline in the cod cod catch limits. And again, it won't walk through it here, but the appendix does show, just to demonstrate, if you use a different status quo year, you're going to get a different set of results. And so just to kind of maybe illustrate that I think it's worth noting there are lots of different ways, lots of methods that could be considered. Making kind of direct comparisons across is difficult, but you can start to get a sense of relative changes. And I think really what this hopefully all demonstrates is what I think the council committee really worked through, a very thoughtful and very methodical process to kind of ultimately get through its develop its method that was needed for this phase one of the transition and show how it's considered the impacts across the fishery. So just the final piece of this is, again, that development of the Western Gulf of Maine apportionment approach. Committee recommended basing Western Gulf of Maine apportionment on recent catch history, which the PDCT demonstrated recent years results in an apportionment split of 55% to the north, 45% to the south. The committee was interested in exploring alternative apportionments that are still based on catch but are trying to minimize the potential impacts for those past years where quotas were very different between Gulf of Maine and Georges Bank, and had recommended, had tasked the PDT with looking at an option of 75-25 split. PDT had proposed some different ways of looking through that, kind of a modification to that, but it's still based on that same rationale of accounting for those differences in the quotas, and that ultimately led to the approach that was selected as the final preferred, as 68% allocated apportioned to the north and 32% to the south. So all of this kind of being a recent history lesson and hopefully expanding upon a lot of the work that the committee and council did last year to work through this, what I think is easily the most complicated part of the phase one of the transition plan, and recognizing that is the short-term approach to try to minimize impacts to the fishery, and demonstrating how it's thought through the impacts across the fishery components, while hopefully in the longer term phase two, looking at what a lot of feedback we heard from industry is longer, more detailed approaches to considering larger application changes. And so I think this is almost my last slide. Just a quick summary of the groundfish and recreational advisory panel discussion. Those groups met in the morning before the committee. There weren't any motions, but just to summarize some of the discussion, the groundfish advisors reiterated the support, kind of going back to their previous motion from last year in recommending the option to incorporate the cod stocks into the FMP, really a sense that they'd like to see Amendment 25 move forward so that some of these longer-term approaches and kind of bigger questions on how to work through the transition can begin. But groundfish and recreational advisors did raise or just noted concerns that were previously raised last year on some of the preferred alternatives and measures, economic impacts associated with those. So, for example, on the groundfish advisory side, the Western Gulf of Maine cod apportionment economic impacts from the phase one, the short term, and then Southern New England cod recreational measures from the recreational advisors with the zero possession, some of the concerns on the economic impacts there. And so again, today looking at taking final action, this repackaged and revised action, if there's any discussion or any questions on how things have been reorganized and kind of outlined in the new, the updated revised document, and we'll be looking, we'll have a motion to submit the revised action. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Fried. And I just would like to thank you and the PDT for the work you did this summer getting where we are now today with the revised amendment. Questions for Ms. Fried on the revised amendment 25? Wow. Pending no questions from the council. Oh, Jackie O'Dell.
Thanks, Dan, and thank you, Robin, for that presentation. It's you've all done a lot of work, and we really appreciate it. This has been kind of a bizarre time in our COD transition plan. Can I just ask a quick question? When you were going through those illustrative examples, I'm curious. I'm not a vessel owner, so I don't get the notices of what my potential sector contribution is going to be. But I did get quite a number of calls from fishermen concerned about the breakdown of kind of what they potentially were going to have in their sector. So can I just ask Garfo what communication went out from you to the industry kind of, and maybe this is too detailed, but I'm just curious about the contact to the permit holders on what their potential sector contribution was going to be and how they were, you know, because again, I was getting a lot of calls in April with folks curious about the breakdown that occurred in that letter that went out and the notification that came.
Mark Grant.
So each year we send a potential sector contribution letter to each permit holder, whether it's actively on a vessel or in confirmation of permit history. Part of that is that each year we recalculate PSCs only to the extent that any permit has been permanently relinquished, because that then redivides out to the fleet. The other part of those annual letters is an explanation of what they would contribute to a sector were they to join. Depending on the year, sometimes we have to put in more than one option because it depends what's in a council action and whether or not that will be approved. Similar to that, in this year's version, we tried to lay out how they would receive four. We still list their PSC numbers and had an explanatory note that they would continue to have two COD PSCs, one for Gulf of Maine COD and one for Georges Bank COD, because that's not something that was proposed for change. But we did then lay out in a table how that would be used to create four contributions to their sector towards ACE in terms of pounds.
Okay, that just created a lot of confusion within the industry this spring, and a lot of folks saying, where did my Gulf of Maine cod go, and why do I have Eastern Gulf of Maine cod now? And all my history has been based in the Gulf of Maine proper. I've never gone fishing in the Eastern Gulf of Maine. You know, a lot of comments like that were coming out this spring, and a lot of confusion from permit holders. So I just thank you for that clarification.
I would also like to point out, as being on the Ground Fish Committee and living in the sector world, I actually did develop an Excel spreadsheet. I did share it with all the other sector managers, that with the caveats of these are the rough numbers. Obviously, there were management uncertainty buffers. There were other categories, but the rough number, as close to rough numbers as possible. And it detailed the division of using the two PSCs and how that translated into the four different COD stocks. And every sector manager, I kind of walked them through the process. They were able to take a member's PSC letter, type in their actual PSC numbers from the NIMS letter, and that would actually give each individual member or multiple permits, how many members, the COD numbers that they potentially would have under the distribution of the two PSCs into the four. So I did share that with the other sector managers. I know some of the other sector managers were very appreciative of it. So it not only gave the individual members, it also allowed the sector themselves to see what the sector itself would have. So I did some of my own outreach on behalf of, you know, the rest of the sector managers. So not saying that came from NIMS and it's not official, but, you know, I did try to share some information with the sector managers as well. Robin?
Yeah, just to add on to that, because I don't think I mentioned it, but when the, you might recall, when the committee had recommended in its June meeting and moving forward with this approach, it included that specifically in the motion, sort of a request or a recommendation that there would be additional explanation, the development of the explanation in the PSC letters, working with sector managers, and I think you saw some of that, but I think recognizing it was a challenging topic, and it seemed like every meeting it was discussed, there was another chance to kind of walk through it, certainly.
Mr. Whalen.
Yeah, thanks, Robin, for the presentation. It's been a long road to get where we are now. The past couple of weeks, I've gotten a lot of phone calls from local fishermen in my area that are fishing hook and line in the common pool area. And when we initially did the action, we had a choice on the common pool area for days at sea vessels on hand gear A to do either 50 or 100 pounds per days at sea. And what they're telling me is they'd rather have the 100 pounds per day on for a lot of reasons. And I'm just wondering how we go about doing that, and will that throw a wrench into things here moving forward? Thank you.
Yeah, so I can maybe answer, I can provide a little bit of, because I just was looking at this, the rationale that the committee had provided and the council in submitting this, and then I might turn to our executive director, perhaps, for what that would mean. But just as you outlined, yeah, there were a couple of choices for what the baseline trip limits could be, and in what was provided, it's in one of the appendices, the background PDT memo analysis that tries to look at, make an estimate of, based on recent effort for the common pool, what a potential trip limit that should keep that within the expected or the proposed sub-ACLs. And there was, of those two options, those both were potentially estimated within the sub-ACLs, but what the committee discussed was just a lot of uncertainty around how changes in the common pool participation what could happen with the transition to phase one, and if there would be additional common pool effort, how that might move around, permit holders associated, their quotas, and a sense that it would be preferred to go with the smaller number to be have less of a chance of closing any of the trimester tax on an early basis. So the other part of this is understanding that process where the regional administrator can makes adjustments to the trip limits, that still remains. So if once things were operating, it appeared that it would be reasonable to, there weren't a lot of overages or they weren't running up against the trimester tax, perhaps those limits could be increased. So that's how the committee discussed it. In terms of what the council discussed in June for revising this action was explicitly to not be revisiting those past decisions and really just trying to meet the demand of the not demand but the process outlined in the letter of fixing this procedural issue, putting the measures together, and then going resubmitting from there. Reopening, revisiting would just seem to really risk the timeline. I don't know if there's anything more to say, or maybe if there's a question for Garfo on the process where the RA can adjust common pool trip limits, but that was just what I dug back through. That was some of the discussion from the committee.
I'll go to Dr. O'Keefe first.
Thank you. I think we want to stay on topic with Amendment 25 and what's in front of us, and we're not adding or changing anything today. The vote is to resubmit.
Yeah, thanks for that, Robin. I mean, the other part of that discussion that I remember was how many boats are going to move from the sector area into the common pool, and that was kind of an unknown moving forward. So, yeah, I appreciate all the feedback, and I kind of want to stay on target here. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Whelan. Any other questions from the council? Seeing none, then I believe there's a motion from the committee to come up. I, on behalf of the committee, make a motion to approve and submit the revised Amendment 25 to Greater Atlantic Fisheries Office with the cod-specific measures as previously approved and submitted under Framework 69, including incorporating the four revised Atlantic cod stock units of the Eastern Gulf of Maine cod, Western Gulf of Maine cod, Georges Bank cod, and Southern New England cod in the Northeast Multi-Species Fisheries Management Plan. Status determination criteria for the four new cod stocks. Fishing year 2026 to 2027 specifications for Eastern Gulf of Maine cod, Western Gulf of Maine cod, Southern New England cod, and fishing year 2026 specifications for Georges Bank cod. Western Gulf of Maine cod and Southern New England cod recreational sub-ACLs. Western Gulf of Maine cod ABC apportionment. Management uncertainty buffers for the four cod stocks. Common pool accountability measures, trimester tax distributions, and closed areas and baseline trip limits for the four cod stocks, Southern New England cod recreational measures, and a regulatory process for the regional administrator to adjust recreational measures for Eastern Gulf of Maine cod and Georges Bank cod. And that is a committee motion. I do not need a second. Discussion on the motion. I will go to Ms. Griffin.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. If appropriate, I have a motion to amend that's really just perfecting two aspects of this, not changing the substance per se. So I would move to amend to approve and submit the revised Amendment 25 as recommended by NOAA Fisheries, that's the first change, with the cod-specific measures as previously approved and submitted under Framework 69, including incorporating the four revised Atlantic cod stock units of Eastern Gulf of Maine cod, Western Gulf of Maine cod, Georges Bank cod, and Southern New England cod into the Northeast Multi-Species Fishery Management Plan. Status determination criteria for the four new cod stocks. And this is where that third bullet is going to get split out a little bit. Fishing year 2026-2027 specifications for Eastern Gulf of Maine cod, Western Gulf of Maine cod, and Southern New England cod. Fishing year 2026 specifications for Georges Bank cod as a placeholder value to be replaced by specifications in a future action, i.e. Framework 72, based on 2026 TMGC recommendations and considerations by the SSC. That's the second major change. Western Gulf of Maine cod and Southern New England cod recreational sub-ACLs, Western Gulf of Maine cod ABC apportionment, management uncertainty buffers for the four cod stocks, common pool accountability measures, trimester tack distributions and closure areas and baseline trip limits for the four cod stocks, Southern New England cod recreational measures, regulatory process for the regional administrator to adjust recreational measures for Eastern Gulf of Maine cod and Georges Bank cod.
Thank you, Ms. Griffin. Yours was a little longer than mine. Looking for a second on the motion. Ms. Ware.
Thank you. And just to reiterate, this is just clarifying that the council anticipates updating Georges Bank cod specifications for fishing year 2026 in a future action after the TMGC meeting. The TMGC meets after this council meeting and our final vote on Amendment 25.
Ms. Ware. Discussion on the motion to amend to the council. Mr. Pentney.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to clarify one. So there's one of the changes between the main motion and the motion to amend is after it says submit the revised Amendment 25, it says as recommended by NOAA Fisheries. I just want to clarify that what is meant by that is our letter of on announcing the disapproval encouraged or recommended the council to revise and reconsider the amendment and resubmit it. Not that we are recommending these specific outcomes in the amendment.
Correct.
Thank you for that. Further discussion on the motion to amend. Seeing no other discussion, I will call the question on the motion to amend. I will do a roll call on this.
When I call your name, please say yes, no, or abstain. Mr. Aristad.
Yes.
Ms. Braun?
Yes.
Ms. Odell?
Yes.
Mr. Hansen?
Yes.
Mr. Lucy?
Yes.
Ms. Sobel?
Yes.
Ms. Ware?
Yes.
Ms. Griffin?
Yes.
Mr. Olszewski?
Yes.
Mr. Pappalardo?
Yes.
Mr. Pierdnock?
Yes.
Mr. Pentney?
Abstain.
Mr. Platts?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. D'Angelo?
Yes.
Mr. Whelan?
Yes.
Motion passes 15-0 with one abstention.
Now this becomes the main motion. Any further comments, questions from the council on the main motion as amended? Jeff Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll be brief. I'd like to speak in support of the main motion. We've been working on this COD transition plan and the forced COD stock structure for feels like a decade at least. I think it's clear that it's the best scientific information available for the four COD stocks and that it's time for us to move this forward, get it on the books, and begin the work of the additional discussions and deliberations we have to have on phase two on that transition plan, but I think it's time for us to move this on and get on to the next stuff. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. Ms. Odell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I'm going to speak in opposition to this motion. I've abstained at the last meeting to repackage Amendment 25 with the Framework 69 measures. I also abstained and was very vocal in Framework 69 discussion last December at the council meeting. I appreciate the council's decision to follow through on GARFO's letter to repackage. I feel that, you know, the council had a pretty lengthy discussion about that at the June meeting. And voted to move forward with this action, but I don't support this action. I have serious concerns that the repackaging doesn't address the Magnuson National Standard, NEPA, FMP concerns that have been raised through the process. COD is the backbone and is the gateway to the groundfish fishery, is a keystone stock. Moving from two stocks to four stocks is extremely profound in this fishery. You know, that cod impacts the harvest of stocks in the entire groundfish complex. I agree with, you know, and also, you know, for anyone who had participated in the Amendment 16 process, that was a very lengthy, complicated period of time to go through the sector allocation, sector management. And I'm just concerned that the repurposing of the PSC, as is being done now, goes beyond what we had contemplated under Amendment 16. We had a very long discussion last year with Framework 69, and this has come up multiple times now, that the economic model that we are using to base our decisions, the quota change model, has a lot of issues with it. And it is not able to predict or remotely anticipate the impacts that are going to occur in the fishery from this transition from 2 to 4 stocks. Yes, there's been a lot of work done genetically to determine best available science as we have 4 stocks, not 2 stocks if we have been managing for decades now. And a lot of work went into the research track. A lot of work went into the genetic work and the studies that were done. You know, unfortunately, we had a lot of problems with our management update last summer. A lot of issues arose with scaling issues, model issues, missing surveys, missing data, missing port side sampling. We were left with a result that where the peer review was greatly concerned about the scaling results of the biomass estimates that were being generated, that still has not been resolved today. So I would like to think that the council and the process can do better. If it was afforded more time and not constantly under this pressure to approve specs by a certain date, that we could actually transition this fishery in a better way, a more informative way, and have less impacts on the fishery. So with that, I'm going to be voting no today. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. O'Dell. Any further comments from the council? I will go out to the public. Any comments from the public? Mr. Orlando.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I got a comment plus a question. Thank you, Jackie, for bringing that confusion thing about the PAC letters. So I've always fished in the Gulf of Maine. I never fished in the East Gulf of Maine part of it. 20% of my allocation on cod now went to the eastern part of it, okay? I never fished there. I never will fish there. And if I can't lease that portion of it out, I feel like I lost it. I'll never use it. I don't think that's fair. So that being said, I can't support this motion because I'll never be able to get that 20% back into my original Gulf of Maine. You understand what I'm trying to say? So I just wanted to bring that up to you guys. Thank you.
Any other questions? Mr. Giacalone.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Vito Giacalone, Northeast Seafood Coalition. We know where the vote will be going today. No question about it, but it's incumbent upon us so everyone understands we have a membership, and the membership holds in George's Bank about 62%, 62 to 65%, depending on enrollment from year to year of the George's Bank, and over 50% of Gulf of Maine. And there are other sectors represented here that we don't represent, so I can't speak for them. But speaking to the fishermen, they realize that the void in Block 522, which is the only western George's Bank cod area, there's zero cod allocated based on the apportionment. So the problems with this is not a scientific one when it comes to, as one of the council members mentioned, we agree there's 4 stocks, right? There's no question about it. What we were very upset with is the abbreviated process that was very hastily had to be put forward in order to meet deadlines while the science and peer reviews were occurring at the same time. So we've repurposed the use of George's Bank PSC, not contemplated in Amendment 16. Amendment 16, and in fact, I don't know anywhere else in the fishery in the Northeast have we ever had a whole mosaic of the catch histories areas that was part of what you get is you get catch history for PSC and you get catch history for area, right? Those two things are incumbent in the fishery. All of the analysis have been done at the sector level. sectors get allocations from members, from enrollment. So each individual, there was a long, protracted process. I don't know how many of that are here today were involved in Amendment 16. I'm not up here to oppose the amendment. I'm letting you know on record we participated in the process from the beginning, including the workshops, and we commented extensively on this. This is no, nobody's fault. You didn't have time to do anything more than you did. So I think the repackaging and putting it forward is the only option you have at this point. But we can't tell you that we've rectified those things. Not that anyone's going to listen to us, but we have members. You all have your fiduciary responsibility as council members, and I appreciate it and understand it. Leadership has to march forward and get what's done under what they believe the constraints are. We appreciate that. Don't think that we're naysayers, because I think you know, including I think the best you could do is what you came up with in Framework 69 under the circumstances, right? We were part of that process, but it was not a full-blown amendment process in our view, and we can, on behalf of our members, just say this was okay, right? That's why I have to say what I say. It's not my personal opinion. It's what it is. And another thing I just want to mention, the emergency action used the four low COD stocks that everyone had issues with on scaling, right? Used those. The fishery is barely surviving on that right now because of the flexibility of using Georges Bank COD from Cape Cod all the way to the Hague line. That's why it's barely working right now. But Chart Area 522 is the only, once you put Amendment 25 in place, put zero COD there, zero. And we had our sectors look at what percentage of VTR landings is coming out of 522 alone, and it's a vast majority. It's 60 to 70% on average. We have zero there. So the cumulative effects the way the Science Center has apportioned COD has exaggerated the difficulty in managing those four COD stocks the way they are. So it isn't that we're disputing the DNA, but when you put it all together, our members are going to have a difficult time surviving. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ciccoloni. Other members of the public? Ms. Eitri?
Thank you, and thank you to all, and congratulations to all of the executive team members that were appointed yesterday. Libby Eitri, Conservation Law Foundation. CLF strongly supports the repackaged Amendment 25 action in front of you. This document directly addresses every concern raised in NOAA's disapproval letter. As noted previously and captured in many of the Atlantic COD documentation and transition documents on the Council's website, this work has been ongoing for well over a decade. Nothing about this process has been rushed, and the Council has taken commendable steps throughout the multi-year process to create numerous opportunities for public education and engagement on the science behind the new understanding of Atlantic COD stock structure and the management responses the Council was pursuing to align the fishery with the best available science. Continued delay in approving this action will hold back urgently needed rebuilding efforts, which are critical to the long-term health of the fishery and the communities that depend on it. You've been managing for two stocks for decades. It's not working. It's time to go to four stocks. I would just equally add that we've heard repeatedly yesterday and today about the impacts of the emergency action, both within the constructs of stocks that were supposed to see increases in Framework 69 that have not occurred, and then also within this structure. I think that actually argues for approving this action, getting it on the books, and for the Council to start the work that they need to do for phase two. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Eitri. Further comments? Mark? Mark Stettner?
Hello, everyone. Mark Stettner. It's been probably 10 years before I've come before this council, and good to see some familiar faces, and now you know who I am. So I was one of the key players who initiated the Hangar A and the Hangar B program years ago. The intent was to be some sort of a entry-level fishery, so somebody with a small boat can get into it, learn how it works, and learn how it operates. The fleet is consolidated. and the fleet now, the fishermen are aging out. There has to be some stability and incentive for fishermen to be fishermen again. Cost millions of dollars to get quotas and start up and join the sector and all that. But a hand gear fisherman could go out and get a skiff and start fishing. I was disappointed that the baseline was not changed from 50 to 100. It was a de minimis change. The rationale was based on hearsay and what ifs. The facts are the common pool fleet has shrunk. The number of hand gear fishermen has shrunk. It continues to shrink. The trend is not, the data is not showing that there will be a flood of people into the common pool fishery. I did some math. The sectors from table 46 account for 236 metric tons, 522 roughly 1,000 pounds of cod for Gulf of Maine, recreational 376,000 pounds of Gulf of Maine cod, common pool 24,000 pounds. Okay. Sectors account for 54,000 pounds of the Gulf of Maine cod fishery, recreational 54%, 39%, state 5%, common pool 3%. When there was a division between sectors and common pool, it was never intended to be all the way one side. It was supposed to be two somewhat equal fisheries, and look what happened. So I'd like to ask that somebody put forth an amendment to the amendment, I don't know, the Robert's Rules procedure, to increase the common pool baseline to 100, 200. It was analyzed by the PDT, and it could be done. I've seen decisions made at this council on final actions at 11:30 at night on some issues. The regional ministry is not going to slow down approval of this, nor is anyone, because a cod trip limit baseline went up 50 pounds. Let's be realistic. And looking at these numbers, even if the common pool exceeded the quota, 80% of the Western Gulf of Maine cod is not even being harvested. It's going to have no effect in the fishery, but it will mean so much to future fishermen to be able to have some stability, a single tote or two totes.
Mr. Stettner, can you wrap up? Sorry.
Yes. Okay. Thank you very much. Hopefully there'll be a motion to reconsider whatever motion. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Stettner. Any others in the room here? Al Catone?
Thank you, Al Catone, Gloucester Fisheries Commission and Gloucester Fishermen. Even though we all acknowledge that the science is correct to split this into four stocks, I've come up and commented before that we've been saying this for a long time now, that the Gulf of Maine stock does extend south. That being said, I still think that this is being rushed, and it hasn't been given due diligence based on the impact it's going to have. When you look at the extended Gulf of Maine, there's barely enough fish in the system to sustain the boats that work in the Gulf of Maine the way it is now. Now you're going to extend the Gulf of Maine and increase the participants in the Gulf of Maine cod fishery 2 to 3 times, a lot bigger players, a lot of operations that need a lot of fish. So that leasing competition is going to squeeze out a lot of the smaller participants. That is my concern, and that concern alone should be enough to maybe pump the brakes on this. I know it's not going to happen, but I just wanted to get that on record, that the lease competition for Gulf of Maine cod is going to go through the roof, and a lot of people are going to be priced out. And we can't afford to lose any more participants. I'm saying this over and over again, and to rush something this significant this quickly, I think, is irresponsible. And I hope that somewhere down the line, you know, cooler heads prevail and we can have a different outcome, you know, even though I don't see it. But we're going to lose a lot of participants in this fishery with the increased competition in the lease market. And that would be unfortunate, considering all the sacrifices that the people who are left in this fishery have put in over the years. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments, Mr. Cotone. Any others in the room here? Seeing none, I will go to Terry Alexander online.
Hi, can you hear me, Mr. Chair?
Yes, I can.
Yeah, this is Terry Alexander. I own the fishing vessel Joker, and we're out on it right now, actually, fishing. And, you know, I left last Thursday night. I want to follow up on something Al said. Last Thursday night, I left. I've seen two boats since I've been gone. Two boats. So, I mean, our fleet has been abundant. And there's nobody left. And, you know, we need everybody that can be. I just wanted to talk about, you know, the way these fish are allocated, you know, by our history during Amendment 16, how our 521 fish were allocated to us as Georgia's bank fish. And now they will turn into Southern Gulf of Maine fish. You know, I'm still not convinced that, I'm not sure that I'm actually receiving the same allocation that I received before. Robin's tried to explain it to me a bunch of times. I don't know if I just don't get it or what. So I'm not sure where we are. I'm not sure if I'm status quo with Southern Gulf of Maine and Western Gulf of Maine, Northern Gulf of Maine. You know, I mean, it's very confusing to me. So, I don't think this is ready to go. I really don't. I think the council should delay action on it and try to explain to the fishermen, a few of us that are left, where our allocation went, all the history through this, and how we didn't lose any percentage of our allocation when this fine shift happened. Anyway, just wanted to put my two cents in there. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Alexander. Any other public comment on the motion? Dave Levier.
It's on. Thank you, Dan. So I understand that this is about the Amendment 25 and the cod, and everybody's questioning what's going to happen in the future once this change is made. But I want to ask what's going to happen with the stocks that are in Framework 69. How come nobody's discussing any of that? We're supposed to get increases on haddock and gray sole. We're paying high lease prices for these stocks that have already been approved, but we hear nothing about it. Nobody talks about it. Small increases in quota have a big effect on lease prices and can help some of these boats out. We just talk about cod for next year, but we're not talking about what's happening this year. That's supposed to happen. So I'd appreciate it if somebody could start to talk about it and give us some information on what's happening with Framework 69 and when we're going to see these increases. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave. Any further comments from the public? Back to the council. Eric Hansen.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll tell you, hearing all these comments, I'm not going to speak against this motion. I think it needs to pass. But as a fellow fisherman, with the impacts that are apparent. I cannot support it. So I'm going to abstain on this.
Thank you, Mr. Hansen. Ms. O'Dell.
Thank you. So I just want some clarification based on what I had said about the quota change model, the draft environmental impact statement, and the comment that Al just made. We are still not the lease value we're assuming in this document for Western Gulf of Maine cod continues to be, what is that? Are we still working off of that we can't predict it because it's a new stock, so therefore it's the that economic impact is not adequately considered?
Robin?
Yes, thank you for the question. So this is discussed, it's recognized that the lease price information we have is from Gulf of Maine and Georges Bank, but the discussion in the quota change model results section and the economic impacts does consider the fact that likely it was the Western Gulf of Maine cod was where you would see higher lease prices impacting. There were some additional Greg Ardini, our economist, sort of explored what if some hypothetical potential lease prices. And I think, not surprisingly, overall, predicting that Western Gulf of Maine is going to be one of the more highly utilized stock. So it doesn't kind of change the overall economic impacts. But going forward, once we would actually be implementing the cod stocks and starting to collect information on those lease prices, that would start to work into directly into the model. So there is some consideration of that for Western Gulf of Maine in the economic impacts.
Further comments, questions from the council on the motion as amended? Seeing none, I will call the question, and based on the comments I've heard, I think we will do a roll call.
When I call your name, please say yes, no, or abstain to the motion on the board. Mr. Olszewski?
Yes.
Mr. Pappalardo?
Yes.
Mr. Pierdnock?
Yes.
Mr. Pentney?
Abstain.
Mr. Platts?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. D'Angelo?
Yes.
Mr. Whelan?
Yes.
Mr. Aristad?
Yes.
Ms. Braun?
Yes.
Ms. O'Dell?
No.
Mr. Hansen?
Abstain.
Mr. Lucy?
Yes.
Ms. O'Bell?
Yes.
Ms. Ware?
Yes.
Ms. Griffin?
Yes.
Motion passes 13-1 with two abstentions.
Thank you for that. So we are done with the revised Amendment 25. Back to Ms. Fried with the Framework 72 update.
Quick question, Mr. Chair. I'm sorry.
Mr. Smith.
Do we need a motion to submit or to finalize this?
That was actually part of the motion, was to approve and submit.
Okay. I missed the submit part. Thank you.
No worries.
There are a lot of words in that.
Ms. Reed.
Thank you. Let me just back up slides here. So we'll have a brief update on Framework 72, more of a kind of a review of what's to be included in the scope, but more of the development of the alternatives will be coming up in the next month or so as we work through our next set of meetings with our SSC recommendations. So just to look at the draft scope for Framework 72, looking at fishing year 2026 through 2028 specifications and management measures, revising status determination criteria is appropriate, setting the fishing year 2026 total allowable catches for the U.S.-Canada management units, Eastern Georges Bank cod, Eastern Georges Bank haddock, and the Georges Bank yellowtail flounder stock, setting fishing year 2026 through 2027 specifications for Georges Bank cod and Georges Bank haddock. So those were only set for a single year last year with the revised process through TMGC. And then setting specifications for the next three fishing years for a number of stocks that have updated assessments or the data updates this year. So the Georgia's Bank Yellowtail Flounder, Cape Cod Gulf of Maine Yellowtail Flounder, Southern New England Mid-Atlantic Yellowtail Flounder, Georgia's Bank Winter Flounder, Gulf of Maine Winter Flounder, Southern New England Mid-Atlantic Winter Flounder, White Hake, Acadian Redfish, and Ocean Pout and Atlantic Wolffish. We'll be reviewing subcomponent analysis. We'd focus on, we'd aim to look at the stocks that have revised specifications, as well as Atlantic halibut. It's been the committee's practice to revisit halibut on a more annual basis, given a lot of some of the changes, in particular impacts with Canadian catches that are accounted for. And addressing recreational measures as part of the Atlantic cod management transition phase one, so kind of like a cleanup, and this is really just the regional administrator authority to adjust the recreational measures for those other cod stocks. So looking at the draft range of alternatives, so you have the outline of these. The PDT will begin drafting these going forward, as we proceed through the next set of meetings that are leading to the catch limits, the specifications through the SSC process. So just to note a change from what the committee had seen, where we sort of always include the revised status determination criteria if needed. And from our management track assessments this year, we know that we will be updating a status determination criteria for Georgia's Bank Yellowtail Flounder. And so that will be what's in action one, updating from the 2025 management track assessment. Action two is the specifications, as I went through on that previous slide, all those stocks shown here. And then action three, the recreational measures. So this is establishing the regional administrative authority to adjust recreational measures. But the decision to look at doing this across all cod and haddock stocks, and rather than has been done as a temporary basis, doing this on a more permanent basis. And again, as explained earlier, this is really about setting up the process or the ability for the RA, the regional administrator, to adjust recreational measures for stocks that might not have recreational sub-ACLs, because those are sort of go along with that consultation process where the regional administrator is adjusting the measures, but working with the council and typically the recreational advisory panel, and having that apply across all cod and haddock stocks. So this action was initiated in June, receiving a brief update today, and there'll be many more meetings coming up that will all be leading towards December final action to receive the draft alternatives, taking final action with the goal of implementation by May 1, 2026. And just to, if you squint at all the things listed here, as was noted, I think yesterday, that peer review for the management track assessments occurred last week. We have TMGC, Trans Boundary Management Guidance Committee, and the Steering Committee meeting next week in Halifax to recommend the total allowable catches for the U.S.-Canada management units. And then we'll have a couple of SSC meetings. So October 8th, the SSC will be recommending the OFLs and ABCs for ocean pout and wolffish. These two stocks were intended to have a management track assessment this year, and with resource changes, the Science Center, those have undergone a data update this year instead. So that will be used part of as the PDT is bringing its materials and options for the SSC to consider from a data update as opposed to a full management track assessment. October 21st and 22nd, we'll have a two-day SSC meeting to look at the SSC recommending OFLs and ABCs for the remaining groundfish stocks for updated specifications this year. So the U.S.-Canada stocks, Georgia's Bank cod, haddock, yellowtail flounder, and the other two yellowtail flounder stocks, the winter flounder stocks, white hake, and redfish. And so from there, we'd have our PDT working with the committee and AP to draft these alternatives, looking at the subcomponents analysis and completing impact analysis with the goal of December final action, submitting the action early 2026 to hopefully target May 1 implementation. And that is all I have as a brief update on Framework 72. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Fried. Any questions on Framework 72 presentation from the council? Seeing none. Anyone from the public questions on Framework 72? Seeing none. I believe that's it. Thank you very much, Robin. Just to note, Ms. O'Dell.
So I realize this isn't on the agenda right now, and I don't know if you want people to stick around for the public comment period, but folks who came were not allowed to speak when Mr. Petney gave the Framework 69 update, so I don't know if we're going to give a few minutes just to recap what that non-discussion was for folks that are in the room, or if you want them to again come back for the public comment period.
Well, we actually did have a public comment during our discussion just now about Framework 69. Are there others here that would like to speak to Framework 69? Seeing none. Thank you very much. This closes Groundfish. It is now lunchtime. Just before we break for lunch, I just want to make sure people remember we have our committee assignments are due this afternoon. Also, public comment, as Ms. O'Dell pointed out, is this afternoon as well. For those that are not on the list already, if you want to make a public comment, please speak with Alex Dunn over in the corner there, and we'll get you on the list. So we'll have a full list later for this afternoon. And we will be back at... 2 o'clock. So 2 o'clock, Habitat. Thank you.